It's Reformation Sunday. We continue to struggle with some of what we heard last week. We remember that we don't always understand what is just and what is right. We want to be the widow who can plead for true justice, and yet we fall short in our limited understanding of right and wrong. That same issue rears its ugly head today as we think about the law and how it reveals to us our sin. This law silences every mouth as it holds us all accountable to God's perfect standard and reveals to us the truth that we are sinners. We have done wrong. This truth then connects with what Jesus is saying in our gospel reading today, that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So if this law tells us we are sinners, it is also telling us, in Christ's words, that we are slaves to sin. And this is our greatest challenge, that we are bound by these flawed ways of thinking, being, and relating in the world. That sin tells us lies, and we need the truth of what Christ would offer. But sometimes the lies of sin make it very difficult to perceive that truth. Indeed, sin's greatest goal is to get us to think that the evil we are doing or thinking or participating in is actually good. There's no greater guarantee to the continuance of evil being done than for those who perpetuate it to be passionate about what they are doing, assured of themselves, confident that they are doing good in the world. And it is this skewed perspective that often sees good as evil and evil as good that, of course, pits us at odds with one another, but also pits us at odds with God. God who will not overlook our sin and our shortcomings, God who is actually good, who may tell us some hard words from time to time, we will see only as an antagonistic force, as one who wants to just point out our flaws or point out things that aren't even true or right or related to us in any way. So this makes it difficult for us then to heed God's words when it is challenging us. And I think this is what we see going on in our reading from Joel today. We hear about the hopper and the cutter that God had sent against God's people. And this comes as Joel has been telling the people about God's judgment against them. As you may remember from our Lenten journey, Joel's the prophet who will tell the people to rend their hearts and not their clothing. Joel is saying, we have done wrong and we will need significant repentance to deal with the level of sin that we have committed. We will need a significant amount of repentance in order to encounter God's mercy. And so this is what we see the prophet inviting the people to really struggle with today. And to realize that we have fallen short, that we have sinned, and that God has been the one to bring about this decimation of our crops, of our plants, of the things that we would need for life, because we have done wrong. And this is God's just response to us, just as we heard Jeremiah saying to the people last week. And of course, this isn't a problem just for the people of Israel in Joel's time. This continues to be a problem for us both individually and as the church. There are times we still find ourselves bound by this force of sin. There are still times we push back against what God would share with us and the ways in which God is calling us to be in the world. Indeed, being so bound by this perspective of sin, we can either think that we are already free and that we are doing good things, as those in our gospel reading proclaim to Jesus, that we have no need to be free. We're already doing just fine. And so, of course, that's the option I think sin often prefers with us, is to make us believe wholeheartedly that we are doing good, and therefore we should never examine what we are doing or think that we might need to repent. But if we cross that line and begin to believe ourselves doing wrong, sin is happy to foster more lies within our perspectives that says we are so wrong, so evil, so terrible, that God and everyone else could not possibly care about us. And these, of course, are another sets of lies that sin likes to use to bind us in ways that are damaging our understanding of ourselves and how we should relate to God and to those around us.
And of course, just as we can easily experience these forces individually, we also can experience them collectively as the church. That there are times the church is so convinced that it is doing right already that it doesn't want to assess or to think about the ways that it might still be gripped by this force of sin. On the other hand, there are times that the church too, this community of believers, can feel like God has abandoned it, that they are too awful, too terrible for God to pay any heed to them. And this, of course, can happen during periods of significant decline. And this can happen when churches, when communities experience deep and ongoing suffering. And of course, what we need in such moments is the law. As painful as it is, what we need is to have ourselves, our souls, our hearts laid bare before God. We need the decimation of the hopper, the cutter, to clear out both the weeds and the wheat, to give us a fresh start, to till us up so that we can be ready for God's word. This is exactly what we see happening in our reading from Joel. Now Joel has shared with the people already this pronouncement of judgment, the ways in which God has already tilled up the people. They have experienced desolation and decimation. They know they've got nothing left. And Joel proclaims to them hope and says, look, God is going to take care of us. Give thanks and rejoice that God would send the early and the late rains to produce abundance once more. God will give us what we need to live. Let us give thanks to God for this reality. And of course, such a declaration of hope would likely seem impossible for the people to trust and to believe. And Joel says it's not even just God taking care of our physical needs, folks. This is God also taking care of our spiritual needs. God will send God's Spirit and pour that out upon all flesh and will help us dream dreams and see visions and be rooted in God's perspective once more. Yes, God is doing all of this for you, even when you know you can do absolutely nothing for yourselves. This is the process that we too are invited to hear. This is the process I think Jesus is inviting those in our gospel to hear. Look, you cannot get free on your own. You cannot do anything for yourself. But if you continue in my word, Christ says to those listening to me, if you will continue to draw near to me, then you will know truth. Then you will know freedom. Then you will see accurately the ways in which you have fallen short, but you will also see just as accurately the depths of God's grace, mercy, and love that will forgive you, restore you, and propel you back out into the world in ways that you can give thanks and praise to God and labor for that which God is bringing about. This is the hope we have today to be reformed, refashioned, renewed on this Reformation Sunday. This is an ongoing process that requires constant and persistent listening to what Christ would have to share with us. And this isn't always an easy process. And Christ is the fulfillment of the law, a law that lays us bare, that silences us before God, that tells us without a doubt that we have done wrong, that we are still enslaved to sin. But Christ's words also do more than this. They proclaim freedom and truth to us. And not just to us individually, but also to the whole church. Christ's words share these same things. And as we hear this word, as we continue in it, we begin to recognize the blessings and the gifts that Joel is highlighting to the people today. We have received the early and the late rains to produce within us an abundant harvest. These are the waters of baptism that God has shared with us in Christ. They have come early in our lives for many of us, and yet they persist now even into these later times, that they may wash away our sin and may nourish the new life that God has planted within us, that it may spring forth, that we might know this liberation Christ describes. We also experience this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are in the season after Pentecost still, which is when we heard these words quoted by Peter, that yes, God is doing exactly what was promised. God still pours out God's Spirit upon us. Us who too have been laid bare. Us too who have encountered the silencing word of the law. We receive the Holy Spirit and are given visions of God's work in the world and in our lives. Through this Spirit, we are fashioned, remade ever more closely into the image of God in which we were created. We are refashioned, remolded, that our minds may be conformed to Christ. And these same gifts of baptism of the Holy Spirit are available not just to us, but also to the whole church, to the whole community of believers, that we together must consistently encounter these gifts that help us continue in the word that Christ would share with us, that would lead us to the truth and would set us free. We experience this good news of God's grace, mercy, and love again today in this meal that we share, where this living word still speaks to us and comes to us in this bread and wine in Christ's own body and blood. Here we are drawn back into the community that God has formed us to be, that spans across time and space. Here we are reformed once more, not just as God's people, but also as the very body of Christ. We are connected to this living word that shares with us the gifts of baptism, of the Holy Spirit, of communion, that fills us with such grace, mercy, and love, that we know that God is greater than our brokenness, God is greater than our sin, and God is greater than all the sin and brokenness of this world. And so as we experience these truths once more and are released from this bondage of sin, we are sent forth into the world to joyfully proclaim what God has done, to highlight the ways in which we have been reformed individually and collectively, how God's word continues to draw near in this world and usher in all those who are bound by sin, that they may encounter the truth of God's love and be set free. And for this wondrous news that reforms us each and every day, each and every moment, we can only say, for such good news as this that holds us and the whole church of time and space together within the grace of God, such wondrous action as this, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.